for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode.
Before we go, let us chit-chat a little bit about love. And it's love from a secure attachment perspective. You don't have to be a solo polyamory person, but you get to hear that from me. And that's because of all of the lovely groups that are out there right now talking about the different ways that the 5D Collective, whether you're mystic or a woo-woo, the lovely Enlightenment Soul Age group, pseudoscience is out of that respect for our lovely academics who are out there doing their research. Okay, so a secure attachment person is able to know that love is easy, one, not hard. The solo polyamory aspect is not hard to talk about with healthy self-worth men. And that's in my case. Others might be talking about men, women, theys. That's what you would know. But for a secure attachment person, it's not hard to talk about who we are and to allow woo-woo, again, pseudoscience, to be part of the equation. And that's not when somebody's talking down to you, but when somebody's talking down to you, you laugh with them. And it's called humor. But love is easy and love is very beautiful when you're able to have what are heart-to-heart conversations. In fact, you will notice that the healthy self-worth divine feminine has their own divine masculine, and the healthy self-worth divine masculine will have their divine feminine. So they have a mind and body that is in harmony. They have a good embodied self-aware radar on. Okay, so that's your restorative embodied self, is when you are aware of your inner world, and your body and your mind are friends. So your emotions are your friend. Anything that comes up from your body, you know. Sensations, images, again, affects, you know the meaning behind them. You know that your behavior is not to be pathologized, is that you can understand it. Okay, and you know a regulated nervous system. So no tolerance for dysfunction when you meet the divine masculine, divine feminine that are healthy self-worth. That means that they will not be adaptive children. Those are people who have unhealed trauma that they project out into the world, which is why it's maladaptive child behavior. And we see them on YouTube. We see them in any way, shape, or form. When you find somebody who is being an aggressor, they're yelling, or they're actively in a state of their survival mode, like squirrels in Cusco land. So adaptive children, they make it all about their self. They will have a pain point that they are projecting at someone with their group leader. And they will make sure you know all about their Wendy's, because they're Peter Pans with Lost Boys and Lost Girls. So they got Wendy's talking to them, because otherwise they would have the good 5D educators. So they wouldn't be yelling at each other. They wouldn't be talking about conspiracy theories. They wouldn't be talking about how commitment is hard work. They wouldn't act like teenagers do. Because see, that's the only time that I actually, because was able to relate to immature emotional stuff, because I was a teenager and I started to learn how to become a grown-up. 16-year-old is your last charged child part. Then you start to grow up if you have bilateral integration, and that is, thank you, Mom, I did and I do, because I'm a securely attached, differentiated, whole 3-year-old heart. So I consistently loved easily, 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 and with the twin flames, nothing happened differently. The only difference can be a lot of aspects that not everyone would understand, because not every one of you is mystic, so I don't want to bore you with the details. But for those of you who are mystics, it's not something confusing if you're 5D, because you're unflappable. When quote-unquote crisis strikes, you're not destabilized, you're not lost. You don't need to go on Elsa's journey. You will process what emotional depth comes up as it's coming up, because you'll know that you're processing whatever is coming up from your body. That's it. You're not even thinking about that human being and or those human beings being part of the equation. Your twin flame or flames are human beings. So when you have emotions in your body, they have nothing to fucking do with it. Now, when your oversoul in general has something to do with it, that's a whole different story. And if you're a person who's a channeler, then you're going to shut your mouth up and be like, I'm going to process this because I know I'm getting to expand my emotional body, because that's the mastery that we get to learn. If you know how to do Akashic Record readings, you will have learned about it easily, E-A-S-I-L-Y. And anyone who wants to say it's hard, I got news, you're not a 5D mystic. I also got other news. You got a window of tolerance for your emotional plane. I have an emotional plane that is a window of welcome. We do emotional accountability here at IHP, and we also do self-awareness. So you grow a relationship with it. If you're going to say it's hard to feel, then I'm going to say, I don't want to do personal development. And I'm going to say you could join the other people that are not here, because we are doing personal development by being able to be emotional, accountable grown-ups, not maladaptive, adaptive children with unhealed trauma, because trauma charges are like that. I don't want to do it. I want to stay in a pouty voice and say that life's unfair, like any other teenager did. which is why I call them teenagers. I have compassion, but a lot of people don't want to go to therapy, so I'm just pointing it out. Here we do not need therapy because you will have reparented yourself. You're welcoming to be in a 5D group. Means that you understand that the people who want good therapy have the opportunity. And they don't have to go around doing this. Misanthropy, hatred, dislike, or distrust of humankind. I don't trust humanity. Humanity sucks. They're all horrible. Or I hate men, misandry. You know what? When I hear women who think they're empowered because they're independent and they're like, I'm single because all men are all assholes who don't know what they're missing out on. Now, that I have met men that are, well, not assholes. Now, see, that's not nice. It's not true. If somebody like a woman who will say something like that has their teenager out there leading their way, I actually don't do any participation to it. I'm like, okay, I'm a grown up. I'm not going to be able to do anything with somebody who is in their human suffering love narrative. Hey, you know, you're talking to me right now. I can understand and see very clearly how upset you are, but they didn't ruin your fairy tale. You realize 3 months is a short time, right? The twin flame. Didn't you say you came from the special star? Yes, you come from the special star, right? You have magical powers. Okay, you're not being controlled. You're the mystic. Aren't you? No, you're not. Oh, I see. Okay, so there's a lot of ways that people who don't want to do the emotional lifting, which trauma expert, like childhood trauma expert Patrick Tiahan, and he's a trauma survivor. As he's used this word, I can use it too. He's used the word cowardice, which I agree with. I was a teenager and said, all these people, they're cowards. They don't know how to tell me the truth in my face. Even when I ask them, they don't know how to tell me the truth. And lo and behold, still people don't know how to tell you the truth in your face. Even when you have a good relationship. So no, it's not hard to love. It's easy. And it's easy to spot a healthy, self-worth, divine masculine because they tell you the truth in their face, in your face, and their face, and all faces. It's really nice. So we don't have hatred of men, the actual empowered woman, and we don't have the whole hatred of women either, misogyny or sexism. We don't do stereotypes, generalizations. So love is free, love is joyous, because we don't have any attachments. You're a one-year-old who's attached panicky in a way of feeling defective. So we have healthy self-worth, self-awareness. We embody our emotional, mental maturity. And our divine masculines, those healthy, self-worth divine masculines, they're part of our group. They're amazing. They're not all men, but the ones who are men, they're awesome. They talk like others that are also awesome. So every person's awesome. Everything is awesome, but some are more awesome than others. No. Now I'm sounding like one of those. No, what I want to specify is when you know how to love, you will see that the best interest, the interest is that we care about everything and everyone, and so our herd. And so the ideas that come with a divine masculine, divine feminine, will always produce more love, not less of it. And that's what I love about the divine masculines. So we don't have misogamistic ideas, or we're not misogamists, people who hate, avoid, or oppose marriage. No, we are people, in fact, who understand why marriage is not working. Divine masculine, divine feminine, when they get together, they can see why marriages don't work. And it's not because people don't know how to commit, because commitment is hard job to commit to another human being. Wow, can anybody say ball and chain? Because that's what that sounds like. You don't know how to have fun in your own relationship, I see. And that's when you know somebody's afraid to be their self. If I know how to be my flawed, imperfect self, guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to hide me from you, and you're not going to hide you from me, and we're going to have what's called a lot of passion in the room. And no, nobody's touching anything. I'm talking about intellectually right now. You can't have any type of intimacy with someone if you can't actually enjoy mental, emotional depth of interaction and conversation, because I'm a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group. I'm not somebody who is short interested, meaning some people enjoy their relationship in societal soul age group. I'm going to put it that way. So they enjoy types of conversations that involve entertainment and weather talk. Some of us, we're interested in what is educational material because we love learning more. So Enlightenment Soul Age Group is not about, I'm going to use this example. Some people really, really love talking about what someone is wearing and how many different types of dresses people are wearing when they go to a wedding. Or what the food was all about, da-da-da, right? Okay, or they love talking about, I don't know, the different number of video games and movies that are coming out. Or, let's just put it, they like to talk about different museums and history. And, yeah, some of us, that's a little bit, not too much. We will like to talk about, I don't know, what's going on with the environmental donut thing or economy donut, whatever it is. What's going on with our countries, but not politically in a sense of let's divide it up. No, more of how are things going on a scale that is national? What is being created by the people who care about the oceans as we move? Entrepreneurship. Okay, so I'm just pointing out these are things that are important. Now you will know what your interests are. Like I just spelled out, my interests are all about anything related to how can we help the world. If you start talking to me about culture, dresses, aesthetics, the societal, which feels like gossip stuff, I'm going to be involved to be polite and I'm going to participate, but I will be soon enough be like, okay, I'm done, you know. So obviously, again, we have a little bit of everything going on, but I was just trying to present the example. So love is easy because you get to meet each other and figure out how you enjoy time and you don't end up thinking that you need to, you know, close any type of relationship. That's where solo polyamory comes into the mix because you might not be secure bases for each other. No, we have safe haven relationships. So that means that we can emotionally support each other, but we don't have any interests. On the other hand, we also have those that are in our partnerships that have safe haven and secure base. And then sometimes we have only secure base and not also what is called safe haven. On that note, the biggest component that I wanted to also share about when you have divine masculine, divine feminine, that our whole healthy self-worth, besides the fact that they're not dysfunctional, so they don't bring in any of their unhealed trauma or adaptive child maladaptive relationship behavior stuff. So they don't talk down to each other. They don't change each other's belief systems. They don't have a way of hiding anything. Okay, so it's smooth sailing. When you have a divine masculine or divine feminine that are not yet healthy self-worth, they're going to bring their child parts. Okay, so those are people who, to me, they're not that divine aspect, but they each, every person has that divine, and it's not about it being a divinity in the sense of an entity. No, let's use, so thank you, Sadhguru. If you overflow with humanity, divinity has to descend. So it's once you're a flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable brain that you access that divinity of you because you have a prefrontal cortex that is engaged. Now, the divine feminine will have also the access to the sphere of consciousness, that sphere of the space in between us, which is why our readers, our channelers, every one of those lovely participants in the mystic plane, even if they're 4D, they will still be accessing the themes around us, the differences that they are in fact channeling and reading for people who are 4D versus 5D. But my long story short is we come together and we complement each other. We help each other see better. So for the divine feminine, love is easy. And so is having unconditional love because it's in our nature to be a nurturer. And we're going to nurture and tend, and the divine masculine is the one who organizes. And the organization, though, is important because they will notice the pieces of the puzzle. And if a piece doesn't fit, they're going to question how to have it fit, which is where we can come together and decide as a herd, a healthy household, doesn't silence any member. So we don't silence, we don't use brute force. We don't use a lack of let's organize. Okay, so the divine masculine, the healthy self-worth divine masculine, that's why I, Maria, can share with you, knowing instinctively that it is helpful, useful, and necessary to me, but knowing how to recognize the ones who are not actually taking that piece and trying to work with me to see where it fits. The ones who are not healthy self-worth masculines, they will take that piece and not involve me, and they will do different things that are not going to be something I see as safe for my herd. And so I'm going to be trying to grab the piece from them, if you will, and I'm using right now this visual that just came to me, but what I'm saying is, as a divine feminine, many times I will have taken that piece, if I can, and grabbed it and just kept it then away. Okay, so you then distance those who have adaptive child maladaptive behavior, and it's all distorted aspects. So you take it back, you don't participate in it. Because when it's a maladaptive emotional response, it's rigid and or chaotic. And so the reality is, you have it's unfair, and they're going to shame, blame, fault, revenge. So the dysfunctional energy is not that you're going to participate, you're going to recognize it, you're going to want to clear it out of your area. That's what a divine feminine will create, clear it out of the area. We engage with it as much as possible to try and get it to fit in our, okay, and we'll figure out how to have it fit. But it'll fit in a way that will be far away from our mind in this case, because I'm talking about personal development, expanding consciousness, okay? So you disengage from limited conversations. You disengage from participating in any of it. And you learn how to explain that, which is why when you're, if you were visualizing, as I said, you try to take that piece back, it's because it's your piece, right? It's part of your mind, your thought, your stuff. And you just say, okay, this is nice sharing. You go play over there with your group. We're going to play over here, and then we can come together every now and then. And I've learned how to work with when you take this piece of mine, and that's why I won't bring it into the picture. I'm not going to bring that piece. I'm going to leave that piece out of there. And I'm going to keep it for myself, and that way you don't have to even be bothered with it at any point, because you don't know how to handle it anyways. Divine masculine, that is healthy self-worth, instead they're able, like I said, they take a piece and we approach it together. And together we figure out where it fits and how it can fit. And it's not even a done deal, because we are simply exploring what is a concept. So I'm still at the intellect, okay? Because emotionally and physically, healthy self-worth, divine masculines and divine feminines, not gender related, okay? If you want genders, then you can use man, woman, and they. So you can do what you wish, but the energetic imprint of a divine masculine, divine feminine are different. Also, the way that a divine masculine will come at thoughts versus a divine feminine, and that's why we complement each other. So divine masculine, because they dominate with the mind and then the body, they will always be able to use their verbal, the left, the right and wrong, the digital. And when they are healthy self-worth, it's because of seeing how all pieces can fit. So one of the recent data points, if you will, that I was able to have in an exchange with a beautiful divine masculine who has healthy self-worth is the aspect of the importance of being able to have still believing in something bigger than yourself. As the interaction was related to the ineffective, distorted, disruptive, and no longer loving, and a lot more, I was sharing that part of the religious institutions. And in this case, specifically, was talking about Christianity, Catholicism. It's my background. And I was sharing about my honor and joy in being a part of the growing up with it, but no longer practicing or participant in a way that, in fact, people will say you really shouldn't identify as any of that because you're not. But I
identify because my heart is with Jesus as he stands for me, the person I relate to, connected to, and bring forth his example. He walked with all. He talked with all. Forgiveness. Turning the other cheek. I stand as a Christ consciousness, as a Christian of heart, not because of textbooks that come from yesterday. No, the textbooks are ancient, they're old, and they are spreading rumors. There's no demons that possess a human being's body. I know this from our lovely neuroscientist, Patrick McNamara, and as a 5D mystic. So I am not a flat earther. That's why mystic, you can say woo-woo because of that. You can say pseudoscience because I'm not in the academia doing research. So I will respect and bring forth the sciences because, see, sciences explain with attachment trauma every single one of the reasons why those people who are dysfunctional and have adaptive children, maladaptive child behavior responses as grown-ups, are unhealed trauma individuals who are in a survival mode, so they fuck and do drugs and they drink, because they don't have what is called connection, because they don't have intimacy within themselves, since trauma is relational. The first place you lose intimacy with is your own inner child, so they don't have their own divine feminine, let alone their own divine masculine. They don't know how to feel or think. They are a poor embodied self-aware person who, in fact, is disengaged from the body. They don't know what they feel. They can't tell the difference between good or bad feelings because they're disconnected from the body. And the loss of embodied self-awareness is why we have all these people who follow ancient silverbacks, and they don't know that no yoga doesn't bring no demon out of you. Okay, so here's where those ancient scripture textbook people, so as I was trying to present, the conversation was very beautiful, is still to this day very, very beautiful. In fact, it wasn't exhausted to the extent of what it could have been, but that's to be continued, hopefully at another point, because it's just nice to be able to chit-chat. And in the meantime, what was, again, being looked at was the Christian religion, the monotheistic religions have given the opportunity by having something bigger than the self move and support people to do beyond self-centeredness. Okay, and that is the part of what the divine feminine with their own divine masculine will be able to know why that can serve humanity. However, we are at a spot where sciences is meeting spirituality. So spirituality will be dying away. And sciences, though, is proving how our human nature is love, the mammalian heritage, and how the survival mode is our survival mode for when we were one with our bare hands with the animal kingdom, with the, you know, bare hands in a forest. So here's where Sadhguru, if you overflow with humanity, divinity has to descend. The most precious thing is life itself. Will you realize this now or only on your deathbed? Here's Sadhguru again. And then another Sadhguru quote, if your perception transcends the limitations of your five senses, you are spiritual. However, here's where I come in. If you have the visual, auditory, gustatory, olfactory, tactile, vestibular, proprioception, and interoception available to you, your eight senses, but you don't know how to use your window of welcome to emotional plane or to identify your window of tolerance, so you don't know when you're in your maladaptive survival mode, teenager, then you're a Cusco with a squirrel, and your dysfunction is why attachment coach people like to say, the regulated, secure attachment, healthy, self-worth person is boring. Yes, let's use a different word, shall we? So that people can understand it's not boring to feel in your ventral vagal nervous system, higher social engagement. It's actually passion to the umpth degree. And that's because you have love in your body. And you have intimacy with you and another. So in fact, when two healthy, self-worth human being bodies come together, yeah. You can put lust in a trash can and you can say goodbye to watching and or doing any of what is survival mode nervous system stuff, which is instead what people think of when they're watching some action adventure movie. And that's a 3D vibration, by the way. It's a whole, like, I don't even know how to relate to it at all. But what I can tell you is your limbic system, your temporal junction, and you are just a grown-up teenager version,
And even that, I don't know, that doesn't even make sense. But with what I see on the entertainment industry, and when I see how they're still building and making soap operas, where one of the most recent ones was this ad that came across my feed, I was like, what the fuck is this? There is a woman who's lying down sleeping, pretending to sleep, as her tomorrow husband is in the corner telling his lover, who's her best friend, we're going to go fuck. Like, this was very much explicit immediately. We're going to go fuck now. They're whispering while she's sleeping. And I'm like, who's going to watch this? And then I was like, okay, now I need to see where this goes. As they continue switching back and forth between her crying, which would be ruminating, because I wouldn't be crying about that. I would literally, one, not pretend to be sleeping. the minute I would see them approach and hear, we're going to go fuck, I'd be like, hey, so I think it's time to call off our wedding. And I thank you both so much for being so graceful about this. Wow, that's amazing. Bye. You know, I'm going to leave you two to fuck here. You can have the bed. I'm going to go out. And then I can go cry wherever I want and process that. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't have continued to pretend to sleep. So this whatever it is, which is modern, 2024, is showing something like that. And I'm thinking, wow, I know I watched soap operas when I was a 19-year-old. I got quickly out of those ones. Yeah, as a 16-year-old, I watched 90210 Beverly Hills. So that's why the part of we're all imperfect and flawed and we all can have those biochemistries, because we actually go through a change in our biochemistry. It's why we want adults who can lead as an example for teenagers versus that. And entertainment doesn't lead by example, no. They all seem to have unhealed trauma, and their lust or survival mode, their hypervigilance, their entire misanthropy, hatred, dislike, and distrust for humankind, or men, or women, misandry, misogyny, or monogamous marriage, they're bringing it out. And eating Ben and Jerry's when you're upset is not a healthy way to handle, no. And apparently, this is when I was told, it is boring. People don't want to see how people can handle each other with equanimity, really. So healthy sense of self-worth is, let me think about that. Am I going to use the word smart today? I'm going to say, if you consider it boring to have healthy self-worth, that you shouldn't be allowed to use the word stable, mature, adaptive, rational, or teachable, or smart for that matter. You should be able to use the word, I'm a teenager who thinks I'm smart. I'm a teenager who thinks I'm badass. Use the word teenager in front of it. That way I can know that you're in your survival mode from our ancestors who needed it for reasons. In some countries, they still need it, but not in all countries. So how about we write teenager created the movie that is very trashy. Or this person chose not to go to get therapy. They chose to allow their unhealed trauma to be a part of the entire stuff that is all here. And so everything you see is in a dysfunctional nervous system that is in a survival mode, which is hypervigilance. How about we break down every single one of what I know me, Marie, attachment, trauma-informed person, besides the mystic, is in a movie when I'm watching it. Because that's how my mind's working when I'm watching something like this is, you're telling me that we have societal, cultural issues. I'm going to say no and yes. What I'm saying is, because being healthy, self-worth, or maybe get it all is movies and only great documentaries. You know, so anyways, this is not obviously going to happen. FYI, I'm in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group. As I was trying to point out at the beginning of the episode, some people have interests, apparently, in shit that, you know, again, it's not shit, but, and here's why. Lovely masculine. That's exactly why this episode is special. I was going to point out, and I'm continuing to try to point out, why it's helpful to have the divine masculine, that is a healthy self-worth human being who can organize and allow themselves to be creative in how they handle when a divine feminine begins to notice just how many times a person's inner child gets frightened and or frightening because of some human being and or more people who are not partners that are leading with an example, because they're just leading with transgenerational trauma. That's why, again, I don't think of entertainment as entertaining. It is a very huge reflection of there being unhealed trauma out there in the world between YouTube and movies. And anything that people say is hypervigilance, which is, that's dysfunction. That's your nervous system that is not in your higher human heritage. It has nothing to do with a devil or demon. No, it has everything to do with how you don't know, those who don't, about attachment and trauma information. A big part of stopping generational trauma is being a better partner. Thank you so much, Patrick Tiahan. He is a childhood trauma survivor. He is healed, and healing is what I always say, and he is a therapist. As he points out, this post involves what we model for our children, so they have a healthy blueprint of how or for how partnership works. As long as people say that entertainment needs to be full of drama, hypervigilance, lust, which is yucky, 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 and also bad example for kids, I'm going to ensure that I leave so many different episodes so that we can spread the word so that children can know, please, entertainment, it's all actually drama and not actually your smart brain. This is how we're going to do it. How about that? So whenever you come across one of IHP, we're going to make sure you know what a healthy partnership looks like. Okay, so what what something that makes Patrick Tiahan cringe, here it is. He thinks about his parents and what they modeled. He says he got to witness character assassinating each other to us, emotional and physical violence, a nasty public power struggle about who does more, who needs to be seen more, expressing that marriage ruined their individual lives, creating allies through their children for support. And what he found missing was mutual respect. It was also missing growth through healthy conflict. Yes, because a person who doesn't have a functional adult, a person who doesn't have the ability to see their adaptive child coming to the forefront, they don't know how to do, let's talk about agreeing to disagree. They only know how to do the not healthy conflict. It's basically like the movies. Go watch any movie again and watch how entertaining it is to watch people not know how to be emotional, mental, and physical grown-ups while they act like grown-ups in movies. Seeing and appreciating each other as a team, so these people did not do that. Again, unhealthy partnership. No wonder why we don't have marriages that work. I'm going to say again, entertainment, anyone? You want to go watch how entertaining it is? Enjoying each other, God forbid. This is another thing. So when I have to watch a movie that needs to go through like a trilogy of, again, Elsa's journey, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not, oh, that's not romancing. That's not in any way, shape, or form how relationships develop. You enjoy each other, not try to climb Mount Everest so that you can get to each other. That's called you needing a hit of your hypervigilant because your dysfunctional nervous system keeps on coming on and off because you are, again, addicted, is what an attachment coach said, to limerence. You're addicted to the limerence phase. You're addicted to the, oh, we're going to have all the belly stuff in our, yeah. So people who are addicted to that, they don't know what love is yet because they're addicted to what is part of the process of getting to know each other. And then they don't learn how to continue with it, and they keep their relationship interesting, like that shitty, whatever, you know, soap opera this thing is of this couple. Because, you know, here's what happens in this TV show. The ad at least shows that she continues to pretend she's sleeping, and then her best friend goes to her ear and says, I'm gonna ruin your marriage, or I'm gonna make sure he doesn't marry you, I'm pregnant with his child, something like that. She continues to pretend she's sleeping. Lo and behold, the narrator of obviously this dramatic, shitty TV series is going on speaking of how this human being decides that she's going to go through with the marriage because she's now going to spite the girl who whispered in her ear. So all of that to me was not even, again, teenage behavior, because even when I saw teenage girls be bitchy to each other, they didn't continue it that way. This is not a movie. So relationships aren't movies. That's another part. We see love as not a movie. No, it's actually really, really great to build relationships. And it's even more important because it's not a movie, about the part beyond that phase and into being vulnerable is the step of you actually accepting each other's differences, but looking in each other's eyes in a way of like, okay, this is more than this is more than just, you know, random teamwork. Let's get together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, real life, healthy self-worth, secure attachment, divine masculines and divine feminines. If there's one thing that's quote unquote scary, is knowing you got the perfect match. And now you get to maybe grow old together. Like, maybe, because you're going to have to wait and see. But the point is, it's most beautiful because it's not boring. Life has its ups and downs. So some people, they feel life is hard. They want to share life with someone, which is what we all do. Any human being has a 0-1-year-old. When you are a healthy, self-worth grown-up, you will want to share your life with someone. Because, again, it's nice that you have somebody who watches your back and you watch their back. But not because you're in a movie. There's no fucking movie. No, because you have emotional shit go on and you want to be embraced, which activates your ventral vagal state. So it's about everything's going to be okay, like you got embraced as a child. For those of us, I raise my hand, thanks, Mom, that have had a safe environment our entire life. That safe, secure attachment figure is, it's going to be okay. When you know of it in your regulated nervous system, which is your mammalian heritage, this is where the difference comes. When a human being finally meets what their mammalian heritage is, if they are smart, they will not resist moving into healthy self-worth. They will slowly peek in their head and they will begin to see, and they will begin to remain mesmerized. And then they will begin to say, okay, I want more of that. And more, not less. They will not define that at boring. They will at most, okay, this is scary. Now I'm getting scared. Now I don't know what to do. And that's where the I don't know what to do is going to be something that is paused. If the person is smart with their self, they maintain their window of welcome, work with their window of tolerance, and they learn how to navigate, how do I talk about what my heart wants to talk about? Because I know this is very sensitive territory, because I can't even handle what is being presented and offered to me because I've never had it. That's what a person who has never had a safe home with their emotional plane, so safe intimacy, will begin to evaluate and will begin to not know how to handle, but they won't reject it. Others, they will potentially reject it for not having the capacity to actually, it's just, this is the sad part, because if you have had a dysfunctional home that was frightening, when you get met with safe haven, secure base eyes, your body will freak the fuck out and you will just flip the switch. You will have no other option. Your body is your embodied brain. It turns it off, which is why it's a disservice to humanity when 4D keeps talking to you about your oversoul, your twin flames, and all that as if it's some drama. It is not. These are people. And if you're people, if you're a secure attachment human being, then that's great, because that means you're going to be Pacha. You don't turn your back on your loved ones. And that's where you don't do the, it's unfair. I want to say that I'm going to let you know how amazing I am for the rest of my life. That's just what the twin flame people who want to say they're divine feminines do, and they're not divine feminines. They're teenager feminines, and they have yet to go and get a good therapist. Otherwise, if they had, they wouldn't be doing that. That's called, you have resentment towards a human being that you're saying you love. Resentment means you don't love. It means you're upset right now. You're not in your oxytocin gene hormone. You're in your survival mode. Let me specify. Okay, so finishing up with lovely Patrick Tiahan. Acceptance of differences is what is also missing in those partnerships from those shitty-ass movies. Because they don't know how to actually have passionate exchanges about it and not talk down to each other or whatever else they do. We also don't need to make a big deal out of entertainment, but I will be using it as the example, because that's where, if you're not getting attachment trauma-informed, I'm going to make sure to let you know, don't go and watch entertainment to learn how to be healthy self-worth. You're not going to get any of it, because apparently they think it's boring to be a passionate, loving human being who knows how to stand in healthy self-worth, which is why we have influencers talking about women, don't forget, if a man says he wants to fuck you, you're not going to get married. And I'm like, yeah, I want to meet that man because I want to tell him no, but I'd like to shake his hand. I'm still waiting for that level of honesty. And I'm not going to say all men are that, but I'm waiting for that man to come to me and say, you know what, hey, Maria, and if any one of you know that man, because I don't know of any man, I don't, I have no, and I actually don't think there would be a man that would do that. I think that if they ever did, they'd know, okay, I'm either going to get slapped, and I don't agree with touching, but so I don't agree with anyone slapping you. But, okay, let's say we get a better version of that, a person who's a woman who's not empowered, though. So empowered means I'm going to joke about it. Now, the age might matter. So today, if somebody came up to me and said, I want to fuck you, I'd be like, are you kidding? Are you joking? I'd probably be like, wait a minute. Let me see if I'm being tricked by one of those TV shows because they sent somebody to, you know, do the very thing that I said that I won't ever see. So, you know, anyways, whatever. I actually would not want to have to deal with that. But again, I would shake the man's hand. Healthy, effective communication right here. Healthy, effective. Let's all have some laughs. So as we move even further away from the dysfunction and toxicity of any family system, yes, that is hypervigilance, including movies, please, okay? We need to be aware of how we treat our partners and each other, despite it most likely being much improved from what we witnessed. So yes, any person who's getting good therapy is not going to be in dysfunctional relationships. They're not going to allow somebody to treat them like a piece of shit. And they will also know how important it is to be an example for children, co-parenting, how we don't want to be, you know, again, disruptive in the it's unfair, let me not do meditation. So being mindful of what children see is very important. Let's stop generational trauma. Yes, it's not just about having children. It is about bringing in less of what we see out there. So he says it's about not bringing any more misery and dysfunction into the world, just as noble. So let's stop generational trauma. It's not the women that are yelling to men or men and women, all that stuff. Anything that is actual emotionally aggressive is not a person who is healed from trauma. No. They're using their trauma charges. That's what this one is. It's not about their childhood developmental trauma. It's about their traumatic charges. They're using their survival mode. Let me put it that way. How does that sound? They're using their past. They're using their back of the head, not the prefrontal cortex. They're using their brainstem and their defense mechanism. They're a maladaptive grown-up because they're in their sympathetic nervous system and they don't know how to be in their higher social engagement, which is ventral vagal, and that's what could be if you use your higher social engagement system. So if you become an actual smart person who has bilateral integration, if you heal your trauma charges, so it means you don't project. The ones of us who don't project, I raise my hand, I know exactly how to just share my feelings. I always have, always do, always will. And that is why when we do not in any way, shape or form tolerate dysfunction, we get to hear things like this. You're so protective. You're so selfish. You don't know how to joke. No, I don't. You're being exaggerated. Sure I am. Yep, I'm doing all of those things. Nope, I'm not doing any of those things. But then again, you know what? Let me think about it. I don't think so. I will always thank my divine masculines, all of them, because they allow my divine feminine nature to be something that is moderated. And that's why my solo polyamory journey has been so amazing, because when you are a person who sees the inner child of every person, it means this. Anytime I've met anyone, and to this day when I meet someone, I'm looking at you from my higher social engagement system because you're not a threat, you have no weapon. And I'm going to see all that you can be because that's immediately what I'm connecting to. I'm connecting to you. Now, if you hide parts of you from me because you want that so, I won't be noticing it. And even if I do, I won't be talking about it because it's your private business, not mine. If you project unhealed trauma and you bring your dysfunction and your adaptive child and maladaptive child behavior my ways, well then, I will see what I can do to maintain my pacha stance. Because I learned if you can't say something nice, say nothing. Take a bit of good advice. And I got told by my mother not to be a mother to everyone. And I also got told to mind my own business. So I learned very easily how to mind my own business. And to just stay away from anyone who wants to bring drama, dysfunction, what is boring to me, because it's, you're so rational. Don't you have any emotions, Maria? yes, I just don't have a drama queen attitude, and I don't understand why you're making a big deal. Aren't you going to go find other fish in the sea, dramatic women, teenagers? That's what I was thinking in my brain as a teenager. As I got older, I'm busy with my life. I don't deal with dramatic anyone's. My women friends are all empowered, or if they want to do drama, they know that I won't be able to do it. Because I'm not going to be able to sit there silently as you do structural dissociation. You're actively getting agitated the more you speak. And I'm going to be, wait. Breathe. Hold on a minute. Because I want to ask you a question about that thing of where you threw that thing. And what that, I want to wait. Pause. Wait a minute. Again, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm really trying hard not to. But I really need to hear something because now I'm worried about. So that's what happens to a person who's using their prefrontal cortex. See, we don't regulate to your nervous system. It's the other way around. I'm in a higher social engagement system, so I'm going to be trying to have a conversation like a functional adult. Even if I was not an adult as a teenager, I'm still an adult in my emotional plane, which is why I was called cold and emotionless and rational and picky or snob or whatever. And I'm like, no, but then again, I do choose my friends. Yes, I like the ones who don't bring me their drama, because seriously, why are you bringing me your drama? Go do and deal with your person. Today, when they bring me their drama, I say, you know that there's this thing called unresolved trauma, right? You do know that nobody's an energy vampire, right? Do you know about the so-called trauma bonding? No. Okay. Do you know about toxic relationships? How about martyrs or superiors? I try to really be as explicit as possible. Do you know about structural dissociation? They all don't like it. Are you telling me I'm fucked up? No, we actually want are all fucked up. If really we must, I just know how to talk about the shit. I don't feel fucked up though, but I get it. I get what you're saying. I'm a human too. As I was saying, when we have divine masculines, it's nice. I like to have my divine masculines. They got my back. I got their back. So having a bigger picture, what I want to close on out with, actually that is very important. Because sometimes the divine feminine will be tired of hearing the bullshit of the ones who think they're divine feminines and yet they're trauma bonded and they're not going to good therapy. And that's when my divine masculine, in this case, I'm thinking of one of mine, comes to my brain as they say, you know, when people have the monotheistic religions, they have this one entity that's bigger than all, while all that other stuff doesn't seem to have it. And I'm like, yeah, but the whole self, we're getting there. We're getting to teach people how not to date beneath themselves. Once they get understood with what that means, the squirrels from Cusco Land might look at themselves at some point and be like, oh my gosh, I've turned into the very thing that I want to say that I'm fighting, and I'm not. I'm actually being an aggressor, and I'm perpetuating hate. I'm not a representation of love. There's no love here. There's anger, rage, and very, very not well handled projection of my maladaptive child. Oh my gosh, I'm doing the shame, blame, fault, and revenge game. This is called safety behavior from trauma, childhood. Wait a minute. No, I don't have. So when people don't want to look at their inner critic and outer critic, and they get vindictive with people that they want to say they love, but the people that they, if you love someone, you don't turn on them ever, because it's not a movie. You don't turn on anyone just because they quote unquote stabbed you in the back. Oh, I remember evaluating that. I'm like, I don't got no backstabs. It's a heart. It's still here. So, as I was saying, thanks to my divine masculine, that is a healthy, self-worth human being, man, I got to think about this whole thing of having a bigger picture. So I grew up with Jesus, which is why I've moved beyond spirituality without losing any part of myself. But also, thanks, Mom. I have a whole three-year-old heart. So I also know that. And then I'm a mystic. So I know about the infinite sphere of energy, which is really amazing, because I know that I will die and come back to life. And I know my future. But I also know it's all in my imagination brain. But I also know it's not. So it's really fun to be in the enlightenment soul age group. Yes, once you've tapped into your infinite higher human consciousness potential. And so believing in something bigger. It's not about belief. I have a relationship with the sphere of Akash. And it's a law of the cosmos is what I'm going to talk about. And Sadhguru's talked about it, but I want to again reformulate, because the part about the divine masculine friend of mine, and as they present, when we look to the history, to the past, it's thanks to having something that is beyond you, beyond the self of you. Beyond the self of you means beyond your name. So move beyond your name. And this is something that enables you to recalibrate. So Sadhguru talks about it as Shiva, which I understand. Shiva means nothingness. And I can use that personally as I get passionate. But the truth is, it's because of my relationship with that beyond me that I, Maria, your host here, is able to bring in Shiva, but it's not because it's nothingness. No. See, Shiva doesn't work for me the same way. What works for me is still the same thing that worked for me when I was a kid growing up with the knowledge of God as the essence of love and life and as the standing telling me you are flawed and imperfect. Be humble, which is what healthy self-worth is all about. And this is where you're moving beyond yourself for your herd. That's why, again, my divine masculine friend comes to my mind, because it isn't about Maria and it isn't about Shiva. I was raised with God, and I've made you the way I wanted you to be made. And I'm asking you to be a representative of me, which is not me, but it is love, but it is, okay? So please do not misunderstand. We are all a piece of the same consciousness. Point. It's beyond what the mind can comprehend, but it's not that it's not comprehensible, it's not provable. And it is because of this infinity, an infinite relationship that some of us hold with what is something that is bigger and goes beyond our self as the human being. We go beyond ourself easily because our personality isn't who we are. That's because you're in your prefrontal cortex as a grown-up, so you don't need your implicit bias. You put it aside. But when I'm being quote-unquote tested, when I'm around unhealed trauma, adaptive children, maladaptive, who are dysfunctional, and they're bringing to me their drama, and I got to hear about shit that I know ain't right, and I'm giving you every single piece of advice and information. It ain't subjective. I'm giving you data. And you keep coming at me, and you keep on distorting everything, because now you just think you're part of a herd, but you're not doing anything to work to get your inner child out. So I still have to get near you while there's a child in a prison that is fighting to get out. And I, Maria, the person who's picking up your nervous system, has to feel your human suffering child as you distort whatever it is that comes out of my mouth. That's when my divine masculine friend comes into my mind, because this is the way. It's not Shiva. It's not nothing. I'm not indifferent to a human who's suffering in front of me. I would be able to be indifferent. Here's where Daniel Siegel helps to make it better. Differentiate, differentiate. It means you consistently recalibrate your nervous system in your own human being brain to remind yourself you ain't that other human being. Leave it alone. None of your business. Here's where that lovely mother of mine. So divine feminine does not turn squirrel on anyone in their oversoul. They don't turn squirrel on anyone. Every time we have to deal with someone who's in human suffering, I get to perceive me and anybody who's a somatic empath, that poor child screaming bloody murder. And in the meantime, you get to hear about codependent, low self-esteem, indirect communicators who are putting men days. I don't even care. Just go watch a movie. Go to a bar. Go watch how many of those poor children are fighting in there while they think that it's cool to fuck, do drugs, and what else? Oh, yeah, drink. I'm so sorry. Self-soothing mechanism. So, yeah, my heart is not in any way, shape, or form feeling anything for the facade of the grown-up you are. I'm trying to help myself to remember it's nothingness. It's their inner child. I can't do anything. I'm not a therapist. They don't want therapy. I know where to send them. I've told them everything. You know, so again, this is where we don't do letting go, let it go, let it go. No, we learn how to differentiate, and we learn to remember, as all those great therapists out there tell me, whenever I go to any of my classes, we're all there, Maria. We negotiate. They don't want to stay. Okay, then. So while the ancient biblical texts keep thinking they're going to do shit, they're not going to do shit because they are actually casting stones. They're just as dysfunctional and maladaptive and in the evil, ignorant box. So this is why spirituality prevails. Thank you so much, Sadhguru, for being out there, because there isn't an entity that is going to fear and look down upon you. No. It's something different. However, there is the need still to believe and be in that bigger picture, because we still have a buttload of transgenerational trauma, cultural trauma, societal trauma, and a bunch of people who are using it on anywhere and everywhere they can get their mouth on, because that's what teenagers do. So in the meantime, please share kindness and love. And remember, it's a bigger picture. We're a whole human species. Let's evolve, expand, and none of us live the trauma of anybody else. So we can be secure attachment figures, potshot handshakes, love each other, be kind. Divine masculines and divine feminines that are healthy self-worth, they come together and they complement each other in the best of ways. So we'll be back with more. Have a great day.